Will you please repeat after me? I, Brett M. Kavanaugh, do solemnly swear.
I, Brett M. Kavanaugh, do solemnly swear.
That I will administer justice without respect to persons.
That I will administer justice without respect to persons.
And do equal rights.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. It's been about a month since Brett Kavanaugh's bruising confirmation hearing, where he's widely seen as the fifth vote needed to secure a conservative majority. And pro-choice groups are afraid that if a case related to abortion comes before the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, the case that legalized abortion, could be overturned. But what you may not know is that we've been here before. A Pennsylvania case that came before the court a quarter century ago could have spelled the end for Roe. It didn't do that, but it did change abortion access across the country. Today's show, Deja Roe. I talked about the case with WESA reporter Lucy Perkins, who did a series on the history of abortion access in Pennsylvania. Lucy, it's the late 80s, nearly 20 years after Roe v. Wade, and Pennsylvania's governor was Bob Casey Sr., not to be confused with his son, who's the current senator. Bob Casey was a pro-life Democrat. He was a Catholic, a devout Catholic.
If we cannot be a country which guarantees equal rights to all of our people and protects life, what's left?
In 1989, he signed the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act into law. What did it do?
State legislators in Pennsylvania were interested in finding restrictions for abortion because at that time, Roe v. Wade was kind of the law of the land, which meant that women had a constitutional right to an abortion. They came up with this legislation that put certain restrictions on abortion. So there were different provisions like doctors who were going to perform the abortions had to tell the patients medical side effects of getting this procedure. Women under the age of 18 had to get consent from their parents. There was a 24-hour waiting period between when the woman decided to have an abortion and when she could actually get one. And there was also one about spousal notification. So women who were interested in getting an abortion had to tell their husbands that they were going to do that.
And Lucy, you know, observers of this case sometimes refer to it as a test case or test legislation. The authors knew it would be challenged. So, you know, what was the strategy here?
Their intent, from the people I've talked to, specifically Sue Fritchie of the Women's Law Project, was to directly challenge what Roe versus Wade laid out.
The anti-abortion strategist's plan was to pass at the state level abortion restrictions that were inconsistent with Roe and so damaging to women that they knew that they'd be challenged in court.
By creating these provisions at the state level, eventually Pennsylvania would become the first state to get this type of case to the Supreme Court, and Roe would be overruled.
So when did Planned Parenthood challenge the law?
So in 1992, Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania challenged then-Governor Casey, and they basically said that these five provisions of the Abortion Control Act directly went against Roe versus Wade.
And what did people in the sort of legal community, you know, think would happen when this case made its way all the way to the Supreme Court, which, you know, people thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to several members of the legal community, one of whom was Stephanie Dangle.
I'm executive director of the Innovation Practice Institute at University of Pittsburgh School of Law.
She was a clerk for Justice Blackmun at the time. Blackmun was the Supreme Court justice who authored the opinion for Roe versus Wade.
The medical profession itself is not in agreement as to when life begins.
Both she and other lawyers I talked to said that
at the time the case was argued, I think all of the justices on both sides were anticipating that Roe would be overturned.
Reproductive freedom is no more negotiable than slavery was negotiable.
Everybody I know who was waiting for that case to come down in 1992 thought that it was going to be the end of Roe versus Wade.
So the case makes it to the Supreme Court, and, you know, remind us how was the court composed in terms of the way the justices leaned in 1992?
The majority of justices on the court, I think 8 out of the 9 justices, were appointed by conservative presidents. Obviously, you know, the president that appoints a justice, their values aren't directly reflected in the justice, but that gave people a pretty good idea of how these justices would rule.
Justice Anthony Kennedy was on the court at the time, the now retired Justice Kennedy. What was his position on the court?
So in this case, Justice Kennedy was the swing vote. The anti-abortion side of the court was lobbying him heavily. And
we thought that Justice Kennedy was going to vote to overrule Roe.
And then kind of in the final days before this decision,
he very unexpectedly flipped and voted with a plurality of judges.
Her suffering is too intimate and personal for the state to insist without more upon its own vision of the woman's role, however dominant that vision has been in the course of our history and of our culture.
Justice Kennedy, O'Connor, and Souter, they decided amongst themselves that the essential ruling that a woman had a constitutional right to abortion would remain.
Now, for these basic reasons, the essential judgment in Roe versus Wade was well within our constitutional heritage.
To a lot of people's surprise, Roe was not overruled.
We were in this position of, on the one hand, you know, being happy about the overall ruling of the case, and at the other hand,
with one exception, we uphold the other challenged provisions of the statute,
being disappointed that some of these particular restrictions would continue.
How exactly was the case decided?
In Planned Parenthood versus Casey, they used something called the undue burden standard or the undue burden test. And that said that restrictions on abortions were permitted as long as it didn't pose an undue burden to the woman who was interested in getting an abortion.
Under the standard we would adopt, so long as it does not place a substantial obstacle in the path of the woman's choice, throughout the woman's pregnancy, the state may enact measures designed to persuade the woman to choose childbirth over abortion. Put another way, the state may not place an undue burden on the woman's right to choose an abortion.
So in these 5 provisions that we talked about in that Abortion Control Act from Pennsylvania, the court upheld 4 of them. The only provision in this Pennsylvania law, the Abortion Control Act, that the court felt was an undue burden was this provision, the spousal notification provision, that said that women had to tell their husbands before getting an abortion.
Today we hold that the requirement that a married woman inform her husband before she undergoes an abortion is invalid.
They worried that that would open up a window to issues of domestic violence and things like that.
What did this mean for Roe versus Wade? What did it mean for abortion rights?
You know, a lot of people will say that this case kind of carved out a lot of abortion rights and opened the doors for states to craft or create their own restrictions on abortion.
The fact that Planned Parenthood has this undue burden standard means that states continually are passing laws that they feel can restrict the right to abortion in a way that wouldn't happen if Roe was still the law of the land.
So because the court said, you know, this 24-hour waiting period was fine, people under the age of 18 have to tell their parents that they're going to get an abortion, the informed consent from your doctor, they said all of these things, all of these restrictions, they weren't an obstacle in the path of a woman trying to get an abortion.
The undue burden standard is obviously subjective. And so I think what's happened is that it's opened the door to states imposing a lot more restrictions than were permissible under Roe.
States across the country could really start creating their own types of legislation. And we've seen a lot of the provisions that were in this, you know, Abortion Control Act in Pennsylvania mirrored across the country. And of course, you know, since then, there have been even more types of restrictions.
What's happened since Planned Parenthood v. Casey to the number of centers that offer abortion in Pennsylvania?
So when Planned Parenthood versus Casey was decided back in 92, according to the Guttmacher Institute, there were 81 abortion providers in the state of Pennsylvania. And by 2014, that number basically was cut in half. In 2014, there were 42 abortion providers in the state. So there was a pretty big effect that this case had on the number of abortion providers in the state.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court has many abortion rights advocates worried that the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court ruling is in peril.
But in so now states, Brett Kavanaugh is on the court. He's widely seen as a conservative justice, and those on the left fear his vote could be the vote that's needed to overturn Roe versus Wade. But do you think the Casey decision is actually the one that affects abortion rights more directly on the, at least on the state level?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this is up to interpretation, but I actually think it does. Planned Parenthood versus Casey gave states a lot of power in deciding what types of restrictions a state wants and is able to put on abortion and the way that women can get them and the procedures and processes that they have to go through. So, you know, Roe versus Wade says that, yes, women have a right to an abortion, but Planned Parenthood v. Casey says, here are all the different ways that states can regulate that process.
What do you see happening in Pennsylvania if Roe versus Wade is overturned?
If Roe is overturned, that decision is then kicked back to the states. So states will then decide whether or not they want abortion to be legal or illegal. And there are certain states in the country that have already put in protections if that happens, that say, we protect the right to an abortion no matter what the Supreme Court says. But Pennsylvania doesn't have any laws like that. There's nothing in our state constitution that says women have the right to an abortion. So if it was kicked back to the states, that's something that state legislators in Pennsylvania would need to decide and ultimately send to whoever is the governor of Pennsylvania's desk.
Though we do have a state constitution, and our state constitution has not produced a whole lot of case law in this area, specifically because the federal constitution has. Now, if that changes, then I expect we will start seeing abortion-focused state constitutional law emerging.
Is there a possibility that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, that in doing that, the federal government could somehow say that there is an inherent right to life, something that would supersede a state's right to put protections in place? Is that possible that you know of?
Yep, that is possible. So there are a couple different ways that Roe could be that the Roe decision could change with a conservative court that Kavanaugh is on. The court could say that not only is abortion not guaranteed in the Constitution, but that unborn children have a constitutional right to life, in which case abortion would be illegal across the country, even in states that protect the procedure and protect the right to a procedure.
Legal analysts tell Lucy a case involving Roe could come before the Supreme Court within the next couple of years, but aren't exactly sure when. They say several cases are already working their way through appeals. That's it for today. The Why is produced by Annette John Hall and myself. Tomorrow we'll continue looking at the issue of abortion as we examine the record of Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey, who's up for re-election next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.